you don't know what a thrill it is to get here in this warmth and to see you thawed out. And I arrived frozen. I was in my heavy wool coat, my cowboy boots and everything else when I got off the plane last night, because I barely made it to the airport. I had chains on the tires and I didn't know if I was going to make it here or not because it was so cold. But I already get warmed up just looking at y'all. So, how many of you are alumni of the Christian Discipleship Seminar, or have taught it? Would you raise your hand so I can kind of get an idea of who's familiar with what? Okay, that's probably a third of us. Well, for all of us, I'd like to give a quick review of a few verses of Scripture, because I think it would be in order to look at philosophy before we look at tools for a few minutes. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew 4:19 just for a minute. And then we'll quickly move on to some other areas. I feel like that there are three or four verses that kind of give the parameters for what we're talking about as discipleship California style. Because in truth, what we're doing and what we're talking about here is nothing new. In fact, if it's anything, it's extremely old. And Jesus said unto them, follow me, and I will make you what? Fishers of men. Now that is clearly evangelism. It is the desire and intent of Jesus Christ that every one of us here in this assembly be fishers of men, fishers of women. And the objective and the call of His early calling out of those who would become the future leaders in His church, like Peter and Andrew, was one to evangelism. I want you to become fishers of men. No question about it. Another verse that will help us to see where they were to fish appears many months later. In fact, we find it clear over in the book of Acts, a verse that you know well, but let's look at it quickly. Acts 1:8, looking at the last half of the verse, it'd be Acts 1:8b. Where will they fish? Where will we fish? Well, the Lord says that after we receive the Holy Spirit, have this new power that He's going to give us, He says, you shall be witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth, is the way New American Standard says it. I have a feeling that we need to understand that what you're doing in California in the area of evangelism and discipleship is only the small kernel of what Jesus Christ has on His mind and heart that will come out of what you're doing. And as I barely got to hear what Jim was saying a few minutes ago about the courses on discipleship, but as one of my dear friends says, it gave me giddy bumps. Man, I get excited when I hear about things like this happening in this state. And I believe it's going to touch the uttermost parts of the earth. And I think we need to keep thinking of our home, our local church, our state conventions as kind of a launching pad for world evangelization always. Never thinking small, never thinking provincially, but always keeping the fact that Jesus Christ had a world on His heart constantly before us. When you train one man, see the whole world through that man, because you're helping reach the world by training one man or one woman. Whenever you win one individual to Christ or witness just to one person on a plane or at school or at work, you're helping win the whole world. See the world through that person. And it's clear to me that when Jesus Christ called Simon Peter that day and Andrew, He didn't just see two fishermen. He saw two mighty men of God that would affect the history of the human race. He saw men that would affect the world. And He saw it through the eyes of faith. When I train an individual or witness to an individual as a Christian, my God-given opportunity and task is not only to see that person, but to see the people who will be multiplied as they win and train others. I must see through faith that that individual who looks so weak, and maybe they're a brand new convert, and maybe they don't look like they're going to be very usable, but if I look at that individual through the eyes of Christ, I will see that world evangelization can be accomplished through that one boy or girl, man or woman. So the parameters for discipleship and evangelization are to the remotest part of the earth. What's the result of the task that we've met here to discuss in this conference? My favorite verse on evangelism, Matthew 24:14. Most of you know it by heart, but let's turn there together. Matthew 24:14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations, and then shall the end come. If I didn't believe that what you and I were about in the discipleship training that's being done in our local churches here throughout California, if I didn't think that we were about trying to set the stage for the return of Jesus Christ, trying to prepare such a thorough work that the harvest was completed in this state, and that Jesus Christ would be able to come back, I hope, in the not-too-distant future as we carry out the work of world evangelization, I'd be deeply disappointed. But I feel that what we're talking about here in multiplication evangelism, where you equip every saint, every layman, every boy and girl for the work of the ministry, is the missing link. It is the essential key that has prolonged so long our Lord's coming in terms of fulfilling this prophecy. I believe that the world is waiting on churches that are exploding with lay evangelism. I do not believe that we will ever be able to seriously discuss winning our world unless we talk about it in terms of every member evangelism. That every person in our churches is equipped, willing, able, and eager to see other people led to Jesus Christ. Now, let me say this, because I'm in a position to say it without, I think, being misunderstood. I believe in Scripture memory, and heartily so. I believe in a daily quiet time, and have one consistently, and enjoy it. Don't you enjoy yours? And I believe in the same things you believe in. But I'll tell you this. Don't ever forget that Jesus Christ did not call Simon, Peter, and Andrew to have a daily quiet time. He didn't say, come and follow me and I'll teach you how to have a daily quiet time. He didn't say, come and follow me and I'll teach you how to do 5 or 10 kinds of Bible study, and I believe in all that, and heartily endorse it, and even try to do a little teaching on it if I can. But that isn't what he called us to do. The call of discipleship is unequivocally that of becoming a fisher of what? Men. And the aim and objective of all true New Testament discipleship will be, ultimately and always, personal evangelism. Now, I have every confidence in mass evangelism. And as Bob said, my grooming and training has been in mass evangelism over the years. But I want to say this. If Dr. Graham himself were here today, he'd tell us that mass evangelism will not win the world. It is only going to be that as the masses are evangelized by redeemed, empowered, and equipped individuals, that world evangelism is going to become a reality in our generation, in our decade. Now, having said a thing or two about philosophy, I'd like to take a few minutes on tools for ministry, because some of you are not familiar with some of the tools being used in California. I'd like to comment briefly on them. In the seminar itself, which is sort of a, I don't know, it's hard to find a term that really expresses the warmth. Seminar does not feel warm to me. Does it to you? Do you get all warm when you think of a seminar? Well, I haven't, typically. But let me say this. I pray that when you say Christian Discipleship Seminar, that it will give and engender a spirit of godly Christian warmth and love. Because that's the objective. That's what we're after. Is not only training, but a love relationship, a growth that will happen between those of you that are, among those of you that are in the training. We're using 4 little curriculum inserts. These are passed out over a period of several weeks. If it's what we call a mini-seminar, where a small group in a local church are being trained under the leadership of their own pastor, or in the event of a maxi-seminar, You go through these in a week. Now, you say, well, which is better? I don't know. I find that some of you that live here in California like one better than the other. It doesn't matter to me. It's kind of like somebody said, Peter got the slow burn and Paul got the big bang. Well, now, if you go through the maxi seminar, you might get the big bang because you're going to hear a lot in 1 week. But if you go through the mini, you'll get the slow burn. Your pastor will just slowly, very painstakingly, try to lead you to these steps of maturity. The tool that we use is rather exciting to me in the sense that it's took many years to develop. It's called a spiritual notebook. And a new one is coming out in the next few weeks that I want you to know about. It will be smaller in circumference. And for Rick Warren and Jim Frost and some of the others that have been writing me, bombarding me with letters on this, I'd like for you to know that will be the size you suggested. All right. The size will be considerably smaller. And for those of you women that have found it difficult to take them to church and so forth and lay them out without them flopping over on your neighbor, now you can keep your notebook in private and you won't have to worry about bothering your neighbor. So that's on the way. And you'll be receiving it here in California in the next couple, 2 or 3 months. As far as textbooks are concerned, we're adding one new book in 1977, actually two, to the curriculum. One is a little book in the area of scripture memory. It's very small. I'm holding one in my hand. This is the first in a series of 8 little books like this. And if you go to the workshop that Wayne Watts will be teaching on scripture memory, he'll go into some detail about how to use it. We feel that a little waterproof plastic-type notebook like this that you can carry in your purse or pocket will probably help a lot of Christians get started in scripture memory that have found it difficult to do so just using a Bible. Or some have used a scripture memory packet like I've used through the years. I still carry one. But this book is designed to help categorize scripture in ways that you can use in personal counseling, personal witness, and it even helps you remember it. I'm already on week 7, and it's only been out probably 3 weeks. And my little 7-year-old Heidi was reviewing me on them yesterday, and she likes it. She's given one to Roy Fish's daughter, Jennifer. And we've got the kids are in it now. And so Scripture Memory Book will now be included with each notebook in the packet. In addition to this, a new book that I'm very excited about, it's called Winning Ways. It's by Leroy Imes. And it will be included in the packet of materials this year in the seminars. Now, for pastors, we're going to be using The Dynamics of Personal Follow-Up by Gary Kuhn. It will not be in the lay packet, but it will be for the clergyman. It's published by Zondervan. I'd like to recommend it to all the laymen here, too, because I know that many of you wouldn't be at this conference if you didn't have a deep interest in this subject. This book is well worth reading. And it says a great deal, really, of what we're doing in California. The books, Godly Man and Godly Woman, that have become favorites in the area of Bible study all over the nation, will continue to be used in this year. And they are now being published by Word Books in Waco. Dr. Coleman has published, Fleming Revell published Dr. Coleman's text, Master Plan of Evangelism. Dr. Fish wrote the teacher's guide for it. This book has become a classic and has been around a good while now and will continue, I think, to be the very heart of understanding the philosophy of Jesus' personal ministry of disciple making. So we're proud that this will be a text for this year. If you'd like to ask me or Harry or any of the rest of us some more individual questions, I think I'll have a conference this afternoon where I can respond to questions about the seminar or any of the texts. The one-on-one chart is going to be updated. We're going to put more emphasis on personal evangelism this year than last year, particularly using winning ways to help motivate more personal witness than we have seen in 76. How many of you could get excited about the baptism rate in your local church and in the state being significantly higher next year than it was this year. Could you get excited about that? Well, we're the ones to make it happen. Because evangelism doesn't happen by accident. Somebody has to pray for it, believe it, prepare for it, and do it. And so I want to challenge you, and I want to add my life to yours. Every time I'm on the plane or train going through, I'll try to add one to the list. I found it's so open here. I got to witness to three people last night on the plane and in the airport, and all of them were interested. Not one of them all of them were vitally interested in talking about their spiritual need. That excites me when you find a situation like that. Now, my time will be gone in 6 minutes, so I want to talk from my heart now personally for a moment, not about philosophy, not about tools, but about something that's on my mind. I want you to turn to Daniel chapter 6, verse 5. Daniel 6, verse 5. You know, it's difficult to talk about discipleship without someone at some time feeling the need to speak on this subject, character development. Most of the people that you and I witness to, as happened to me last night here, are going to tell you that they were once a member of a church, like a Latin American young man who was a manager with Taco Bell that I was talking with last night. He said, yes, I was saved, I became a Christian, but he said shortly after I had given my life to Christ and had really, you know, become involved and excited, one of the key leaders in the church that I was a member of absconded with the funds of our church and suddenly disappeared. And he said it happened to have been the pastor. He said, I have not been back to a Baptist church since that day. I said, have you forgiven the pastor? I said, you know, you're a Christian, aren't you? He said, yes, I'm definitely a Christian. I said, well, somebody once told me that we're the only army in the world that whenever our soldiers gets wounded, we just shoot them. I said, I know that the pastor did wrong, and I know he's wounded, but have you just shot him? Can you forgive him? He said, I never thought about it before. I said, friend, if you're a child of God and if you're really a Christian, you need to pray about loving that man and forgiving him. Secondly, talked with one last night. They came from a Catholic background from the Mariana Islands. And he was interested in whether or not he might become a Christian from the standpoint of a sort of a Roman Catholic nominal background and now interested in Hare Krishna movement. Somewhere in between, there's a key person that we could reach. Sharp young man. But I have a feeling that we're not going to reach many people as long as we have characters that are not godly. There's an old saying that it's not so much what we say, but what we do that influences our world. And I don't know who is the first one to espouse that, but I have a strong feeling that Daniel is the kind of man that God wants to raise up in California. And the governors and commissioners said, we shall not find any ground of accusation against this Daniel unless we find it against him with regard to the law of his God. Wouldn't you like to make 1977 a year when no one in your neighborhood, none of your colleagues, no family member, not even your enemies if you have any, could find a point of inconsistency and sin in your life so that they could find no fault to bring against you? The witness that Daniel had with pagan alien kings was not so much how often he went to the synagogue, because obviously he didn't have the opportunity to do what he would have done back in his own country. The witness that he bore in an alien society. And by the way, let me say this. I am keenly sensitive to the fact that when I'm on the West Coast, I am in, to some degree, a very secular alien society. You know that. But I want you to know, as a foreigner, I know it too. And when you come here and minister here, I feel like your character is going to be called into question because of all of the religious leaders and the religions and the fads and so forth. People are going to respect stability. They're going to want a person that's going to love them and stick with them and see them through the thick and the thin of it, and a man and a woman who are going to walk with God, godly characters. When you meet with your Pauls and when you meet with your Timothys, I wish you'd write down in your notebook, under prayer list, God, make me a man or a woman of flawless character. Let's make this a year of character development. Evangelization without character development will be very shallow. It must come out of the overflow of the purity, the transformation that the Holy Spirit is producing in our hearts. Shall we covenant together right now as we pray that this year, as we emphasize personal evangelism, that we would also emphasize godly characters at the deepest level of integrity? Shall we pray? Our Lord Christ, we are brought to our knees repeatedly when we think about our walk and our talk, that so much of what we profess with our lips never seems to make it through to the actualization of being lived out on a daily basis. And for all of the good sounding words that we so often speak, there needs to be a transformation of our character brought about by the Spirit of God that shows a watching, rather suspicious world that Jesus Christ is indeed alive and that He does change people. He isn't just able to, He's actually doing it. And that's why we want to give our lives as a living sacrifice, that You might burn out of us the areas of impurity which are causing the world to seriously question our witness. If it's in the area of the heart, then we ask that You'd guide us to keep our heart with all diligence. For You have told us that out of it come the issues of life. If it's in the area of our feet, we ask that You'd guide us not to walk to the right nor to the left, but to follow in the exact path of Scripture. And if it's with our eyes, Lord, we ask that You would keep them on things which are heavenly, and that we might set our affections on the things which are above and not on the things which are in this world. We love You, Lord, and for no other reason than that love, we simply bear our souls to You right now and ask that in our character and in our motivation to bear witness, we would see the greatest transformation in this coming year that we have ever seen in our lives to date. And may God bring an awakening about that will sweep our world, starting with the disciples in the local churches of California. And God, if You can't use us as Baptists, find somebody You can use. But we'd like to be made usable. And we offer ourselves up to You right now. In Jesus' name, amen.